Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The serial killer under arrest tonight. Authorities acknowledging they don't know how many people he allegedly killed. And breaking news from the Hill tonight. The high-stakes vote in the House on raising the debt ceiling. President Biden and Speaker Kevin McCarthy under pressure to get the votes. Where this stands, Rachel Scott is live. Also tonight, that suspected serial killer under arrest in Texas. Police say he told them he was ready to kill again. And tonight, investigators and that acknowledgement, they don't know how many victims there might be. Maria Villarreal in Texas. In the Northeast tonight, the air quality concerns, the images coming in, smoke from Canadian wildfires filling the skies over several major cities, including Philadelphia. Rob Marciano times this out. Tonight, a store owner facing a murder charge for allegedly shooting and killing a 14-year-old boy he accused of shoplifting. The teen shot in the back while running away. Police did find a gun. And what we've learned tonight about that store owner before. The apartment building collapse. Authorities now using drones to search for the missing. Our team in Iowa. The war in Ukraine tonight and the missile debris raining down on the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. This as Ukraine launches new attacks inside Russia. The Russian refinery tonight set ablaze. Here in the U.S., the race for the White House. Ron DeSantis taking aim at President Biden and former President Trump, saying we don't need an entertainer as president. John Carl in Iowa. The breaking news actor Danny Masterson of That 70s Show convicted of rape just a short time ago. The jury's verdict just in. The race to rescue a U.S. Navy pilot forced to eject off Florida. We'll have the latest on his condition. And just like that is actress Kim Cattrall returning as Samantha Jones. And America's Strong tonight, the boy you met right here. So many other children across the country seeing his story and what so many of you have done. That boy brought to the White House.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It is great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. We begin tonight with the high stakes vote in the House to raise the debt limit and to limit spending, already clearing two major procedural hurdles in the past 24 hours. Now the vote tonight. Speaker Kevin McCarthy appealing to House members, asking them to be on the right side of history, he said, and to vote yes, but dozens planning to vote no. One Republican congressman calling it a surrender. McCarthy will also need Democrats to get this passed. President Biden and the White House lobbying Democrats. Not all are on board. And all of this with just days now until a potentially catastrophic U.S. default. So where does this stand tonight? Rachel Scott leading us off on Capitol Hill.
Tonight, the hard sell. With the clock ticking, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy under pressure to pass the deal he negotiated with the White House and under fire from some of his own Republican members.
In the final hours, what are you telling some of your members that are still on the fence?
You don't want to miss and be in history on the wrong side of this. Don't miss out. Don't sit back and think, I wanted something so much more. Yeah, there's a lot of things I want too, but this is one that moves us in the right direction.
Overnight, the Congressional Budget Office determining the bill would reduce the deficit by $1.5 trillion over 10 years. Conservatives unmoved, especially after the CBO also found the bill's stricter work requirements for some Americans on food assistance would actually increase spending by $2 billion.
Speaker McCarthy calls it a victory. What do you think?
You know, it's not a victory. It's a surrender.
There's anger on the left, too. President Biden and top White House aides reaching out to some 120 Democratic lawmakers, urging them to hold their nose and vote yes.
I think things are going as planned, God willing.
The White House priority, getting Republicans to agree to raise the debt ceiling and avoid an economic catastrophe. But for some progressives, the trade-off isn't worth it.
Voting against this bill is not a vote against the president. It's against the Republican extremism to hijack this country with debt ceiling debates every few years.
Both the House and the Senate are on track to pass this bill before the nation defaults on June 5th. But leaders know they have to move quickly. Tonight, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer warning there is no room for error, hoping to have that bill through the Senate by the end of the weekend. David.
Rachel Scott reporting on this right into the evening for us. Rachel, thank you. We turn next tonight to the suspected serial killer now under arrest. The Texas man suspected of murder, allegedly confessing to more than one. And police say he told them he was ready to kill again. And tonight, investigators acknowledging they don't know how many people he might have killed. ABC's Maria Villarreal in Texas for us.
Tonight, suspected serial killer Raul Meza back in jail after police in Texas say he confessed to two murders and admitted he was planning to strike again.
I will let you know that Mr. Meza said he was ready and prepared to kill again, and he was looking forward to it.
28 returns to a Raul Meza Jr. at that address.
Police launching an urgent manhunt for Meza more than a week ago after his roommate, 80-year-old Jesse Fraga, was fatally stabbed in his home north of Austin, and Meza was seen afterward driving Fraga's truck. Investigators say while Meza was on the run, he called detectives detailing how he murdered Fraga and implicating himself in the unsolved murder of a woman strangled to death several years prior.
That was found to be the death of Gloria Loftin in 2019.
On Monday night, U.S. Marshals apprehended Meza at a bus stop. They say he had a bag with zip ties, a flashlight, a gun, and multiple rounds inside. The 62-year-old, already a convicted murderer. In 1982, he was sentenced to 30 years in prison for killing third grader Kendra Page. His release after serving 11 years for good behavior.
We don't want him in our neighborhood!
Sparking protests in Austin at the time.
We don't know how many more people he killed or would have killed. So here's a serial killer that justice was not served. So it was a travesty of justice, totally in this case.
And David, investigators say these two latest cases may not be where the story ends. They confirm they are looking at between 8 and 10 cold cases in this area alone that Meza could be responsible for. And they date all the way back to 1996. David?
Maria Villarreal in Texas for us. Maria, thank you. In the Northeast tonight, concerns over the air quality because of smoke from wildfires in Nova Scotia, Canada. Haze obscuring the skyline of Philadelphia. Take a look at that, where the National Weather Service tonight has declared a, quote, code orange alert. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking this and a system off Florida tonight. But, Rob, let's start with this air quality because this is significant.
Yeah, that code orange means it doesn't just smell like campfire. It is unhealthy, especially for sensitive groups. So we've got several states that are under this alert. Connecticut, New Jersey, parts of lower New York, Pennsylvania, and the one in Delaware. That's through tomorrow. That same high pressure that brought the beautiful weather to the Northeast, bringing the smoke, wrapping it around it. You see that orange beginning to diffuse a little bit tomorrow. So that's the good news. This system in the Gulf of Mexico, this is a disturbance that could become tropical. They've thrown a flood watch up through Friday. Regardless of its development, it will bring rounds of heavy rain for most to the peninsula. Tomorrow, as you know, is the first day of hurricane season. David?
Rob Marciano with us. Thank you, Rob, as always. Next here tonight, a South Carolina convenience store owner is facing a murder charge for allegedly shooting a 14-year-old boy he accused of shoplifting. The boy was shot in the back as he ran away. Police did find a gun near the teen. And what we've learned tonight about that store owner before. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami now.
This 14-year-old boy is dead, and tonight this gas station owner is accused of murdering him after police say he suspected the teenager was trying to steal from his store.
It looks like he might be in juvenile.
Okay, copy that.
58-year-old Rick Chow owns this Shell gas station in Columbia, South Carolina, that's now covered in graffiti from protesters. On Sunday, investigators say that 14-year-old Cyrus Carmack Belton was at a cooler holding four bottles of water that police say he put right back down when the store owner accused him of stealing.
This location has had lots of incidents in the past, shoplifting incidents. He did not shoplift anything. We have no evidence that he stole anything whatsoever.
A struggle in the store spilled out into the street, and as the teenager ran away, police say the store owner shot the child in the back. People are outraged near and far. Even the county coroner says she's heartbroken.
And I'm gonna tell y'all, I have a son who is that age.
Police underline that they did find a gun near the boy's body and that it belonged to the teenager. There's a Stand Your Ground law in South Carolina, but authorities say it doesn't help the store owner in this case because the teenager was killed as he was running away.
Investigators say that this same store owner has shot bullets at people in his store before. In one case where no one was hit, a second case that police ruled was self-defense, and then this one where he's charged with murder, where police say the child had a gun. David.
Steve Osunsami tonight. Thank you, Steve. To the apartment building collapse in Iowa, and tonight they've now turned to drones to search the building in Davenport. Five people are still unaccounted for, two believed to be inside. The rest of the building teetering, and they say at risk of collapse. ABC's Alex Perez on the scene in Iowa again tonight.
Tonight, authorities in Davenport, Iowa, using drones to search for the missing inside that collapsed apartment building. It's an agonizing wait for the family of Ryan Hitchcock and Brandon Colvin, who authorities say are likely somewhere inside. Colvin's son wants search teams to move faster.
I don't feel like it's that hard. Just go in there and look for these people that's in there. They just need to go in there and look.
How do you guys hold on to hope with all this destruction there right now?
For me personally, that lady, her being found in there alive, gave me hope. I'm just trying to stick it out and keep having hope.
But officials have not provided a search timeline and say each time crews enter the building, it grows weaker and could collapse at any moment. Residents here say there was a history of plumbing and sewage leaks.
We have problems with water damage. When you contact the people who own the building, they don't do anything.
Required repair work was underway when the building collapsed, but there are new questions about why engineers hired by the building told city officials it was still safe for residents.
And David, I spoke with the property manager today, and they would only tell me they are praying for the families and working on refunding deposits to tenants. As for the property owner, he has been fined $300 so far and is due in court June 9th. David?
Yeah, keep asking those questions for all those people who live there. Alex, thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine tonight. New images from Kyiv of missile debris raining down on a busy roadway in the capital. These images come as Ukraine steps up their attacks inside Russia. Tonight, the Russian refinery set ablaze. Tom Sufi Burridge in Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, dramatic dashcam video, missile debris crashing into a crowded highway in the Ukrainian capital. The missile shot down, part of a wave of recent Russian attacks. But Ukraine now taking the fight inside Russia. Explosive drones striking two oil refineries deep inside Russian territory, setting one of them on fire in video circulating online. Russian regions bordering Ukraine also under attack. The aftermath seen in video circulating online. A Russian official saying one person killed and two seriously injured by Ukrainian artillery. These latest attacks coming after a swarm of explosive drones hit Moscow. A Ukrainian official suggesting Ukraine was responsible. And our Mary Bruce asking the White House to clarify its position on not condoning attacks inside Russia.
Does Ukraine, you know, a country that's been under attack for more than a year, not have a legitimate right to attack its aggressor back on its own territory?
We don't tell them where to strike. We don't tell them, we're not to strike.
And tonight, the U.S. announcing more Avenger air defense systems for Ukraine. Our team shown one already in action.
The Avenger is a highly mobile air defense system. This unit's job is to hunt down a Russian drone or missile, and then the heat-seeking technology on board does the rest.
The Avenger firing Stinger missiles. Ukraine getting more of those, too.
David, the new package is worth $300 million, taking total U.S. military aid to Ukraine to more than $38 billion. The White House reiterating U.S. weaponry should not be used for attacks inside Russia. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge and our team there in Kharkiv tonight. Tom, thank you. Back here in the U.S. into the race for the White House tonight, Ron DeSantis taking aim at President Biden and taking aim at former President Trump, saying we don't need an entertainer as president. Jonathan Carl in Iowa tonight.
The country is going in the wrong direction. We all know it. We feel it.
Ron DeSantis took his hard-edged culture war message across Iowa today, slamming Joe Biden and the, quote, cultural elites, but also making a clear contrast between himself and Donald Trump.
Leadership is not about entertainment. It's not about virtue signaling. It's not about kind of the show. What the essence of leadership is about producing results.
DeSantis hit the issues that have made him both divisive and a popular figure among conservatives. His opposition to masks and vaccine mandates during the COVID pandemic and his ban on classroom discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity.
She's a force.
He also made a point to feature his wife and top political advisor, Casey DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis always stands up for what's right. He never backs down. He says what he's going to do and he gets it done.
Trump has been relentlessly attacking DeSantis for months. Now the Florida governor is hitting back.
He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me?
He suggested Trump just can't win a general election.
Because I think our voters are looking at this and they say, you know, yeah, we appreciate what he did, but we also recognize there are a lot of voters just aren't going to ever vote for him. We just have to accept that.
How's it going?
Iowa Republicans who came to see DeSantis told us they're not ready to say they support him, but over and over again, they told us they want an alternative to Trump.
We all agree that he did good things, kept the country moving, but his character is not good. I need leadership and someone I can trust and admire.
Do you think Trump can be beaten?
I hope so.
Why do you hope so?
Got too much garbage on it.
And the field of Republican presidential candidates is about to get bigger. ABC News has learned that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will announce that he is running for president at an event in New Hampshire next Tuesday, and Mike Pence will make his announcement that he is running next Wednesday. David?
Chris Christie, Mike Pence joining the race. John Carl tonight. John, thank you. As you know, we have been reporting here on artificial intelligence, AI, what it can already do, but also the major risks on the horizon. And tonight here, the dire warning from hundreds of leaders in technology and business about the potential dangers of artificial intelligence. It got our attention. In their one-sentence statement, they warn AI could pose a, quote, risk of extinction on par with pandemics and nuclear war. The group, including the top scientists who have developed AI, are calling for global regulation now before they say it gets out of hand. The concern only growing since the release of ChatGPT in November. When we come back on this Wednesday night, the breaking news coming in, the verdict just in involving actor Danny Masterson of That 70s Show, and the race to rescue a Navy pilot forced to eject right off the U.S. coastline in a moment.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, the verdict just in, actor Danny Masterson found guilty of two counts of rape in Los Angeles. Best known for his role on That 70s Show, he was convicted of sexually assaulting two women who were also members of the Church of Scientology. The court calling him a flight risk, placing him in handcuffs and taking him into custody. The victims claiming the church discouraged them from going to the police. Scientology officials deny blocking members from cooperating with authorities. When we come back here tonight, news on that Navy pilot forced to eject right off the U.S. coastline, what we've learned. And the headline out of Hollywood late today is actress Kim Cattrall returning as Samantha Jones.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
To the index of other news tonight, a U.S. Navy pilot was forced to eject off Key West, Florida. The pilot flying an F-5 jet reporting technical problems before it crashed into the ocean. A search and rescue team finding the pilot about 25 miles from shore, flying the pilot to a hospital in Miami for evaluation. They say he is responsive and actually walked off the rescue helicopter himself. That was good news. And just like that, Samantha Jones is apparently back. There are several reports late today that actress Kim Cattrall will again play Samantha Jones in the popular spinoff to Sex and the City. She will reportedly appear in the season 2 finale on the phone with Sarah Jessica Parker's Carrie Bradshaw. No word if there will be anything more than that. Cattrall's role as Samantha Jones was very popular with fans on the longtime HBO hit, and many fans have hoped that she would return. When we come back here tonight, the boy you met right here, children across the country seeing his story and what so many of you have done. In fact, the boy was brought to the White House.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally tonight here, as you know, May was Celiac Disease Awareness Month, and you'll remember the boy who wrote me a letter. But what he's done since is America strong. You first met Jack Sperry from Penn Valley, Pennsylvania, right here 2 years ago. He was just eight, reading the letter he wrote me.
Hi, I'm Jack Sperry, and let me read my letter to David Muir on World News Tonight.
Jack's writing about celiac disease, an autoimmune disorder triggered by eating gluten.
Dear Mr. Muir, when I turned eight in March, I wished for a cure for celiac disease.
Jax watches the news, and he hoped that we would help get the word out.
I watch you every night with my dad. You are a great storyteller, and I have learned a lot from you, including about the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health says 2 million Americans have celiac disease. That number could be even higher.
Eating without fear is our hope. Food insecurity happens for celiacs every day. Can you please help me tell the celiac story this May, which is Celiac Awareness Month?
And when other children learned Jax was reaching out, they did too.
Hey, David.
Hey, David.
They also have celiac disease.
I wish when I went to parties, I didn't have to bring my own food and I didn't have to worry about cross contamination.
The only treatment for celiac is a strict gluten-free diet, which is pretty tough.
Jax and his family would travel to Capitol Hill asking for research, funding, food labeling. Now 10 and in the fourth grade, he made it all the way to the White House, invited by President Biden. And so many of you at home moved to help, including Pennsylvania State Senator Amanda Cappelletti, who just today asked Jax to help her present a $100,000 grant to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for celiac research. And so back here tonight.
Hi, David.
Hello, Jax.
I'm checking in 2 years later now, and I'm 10 years old. While researchers are working to find a treatment and a cure, I'm working to label gluten on all packaged foods in the U.S., just like it is in 85 other countries worldwide.
Keep going, Jax. You're helping so many. I'm David Muir. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.